John chapter 1. This morning I'm reading actually from the Message translation. The Word was first. The Word was present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There was once a man, his name was John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, there was one day a couple thousand years ago that you literally came to earth to be with us and you moved into the neighborhood. We invite you through your spirit to find your neighborhood in this place this morning, in our hearts as we are seeking to hear from you. And so in these moments, as we step into your word, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 10, Jesus is sending his disciples out on their very first mission on their own, and he tells them to go, and as they're going, to proclaim the good news and to do the good works of God for others. And Jesus tells them to do it boldly and to do it gladly, because he says to them, to his disciples, freely you have received, and so freely give. Put simply, Jesus tells his disciples that day, go and live generous lives. Freely, we have received good things from God, more than we can possibly count. And so generously, we get to pour out all of these good things for others. That's just the way it works. And that's what we'll be delving into during this month of gratitude. In November, we as a people tend to do a really good job of thanking God more than usual for all that he's done for us. And that is a good practice. Thanksgiving is a part of worship. But too often, if we're honest, we kind of stop right there with the giving thanks. And we forget that the proper follow-up to gratitude is always then to go forth and to share. A people blessed to be a blessing. So this month we're going to remember how God has been generous to us. And together we're going to lean into practical ways to be generous to others. Starting this morning with generosity and relationships. Living up in the church parsonage, if you don't know where that is, it's up this dirt road behind the church surrounded by a bunch of trees. There's one thing that I miss a lot living in that place. And that one thing is also something that sometimes I don't miss all that much at all. They're one and the same. That thing is neighbors. I miss the element that comes with shared life with neighbors. I miss having my dog out in the front yard and letting the neighbor kids come up to pet her and warning them that she likes to lick you in the mouth. I miss trick-or-treaters, and I miss having Christmas lights up for other people to actually be able to see. I miss that random doorbell ring and opening it to see the Girl Scout selling cookies or the Jehovah's Witness not knowing it's a pastor's house they've just come to. I miss that. They all know that's a pastor's house. I miss the lady across the street coming to ask for an egg. I miss being aware of the routines of those around me. Whether I knew them or not, I knew who was the early bird and who was the night owl, who religiously went to church on Sunday mornings and who religiously slept off Saturday night's shenanigans on Sunday mornings. You know, there's some really fun stuff about being a neighbor and getting to live life in proximity to these people that you might never get to know otherwise. And then on the other side of the coin, there's some things that I really don't miss at all about having neighbors. Someone else's litter in my front yard, that unleashed dog that just chose to make my flower bed his business spot. The house with the loud music, the one that had company over all the time and took up our whole street with their own parking, having to keep my lawn up even when I didn't want to. The house down the street that had a different political affiliation than my own, who for some reason never thought that just one yard sign was enough to support their candidate. If we put up 50, maybe we'll get the idea across. There are those neighbors that are always too loud, too messy, too chatty. There's something kind of hard about being a neighbor and living in proximity to people that you might never have to know otherwise. John chapter 1, the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and blood and made this crazy choice to move into the neighborhood. Jesus became our neighbor. He entered into relationship with us and a generous relationship at that. How did Jesus do it? How did he live generously with others? And how do we do the same? You know, it's all right there in John chapter 1. This beautiful statement on who Jesus is and what he came to do. It ends with this simple truth that says Jesus was generous inside and out from start to finish. How? Verse 1, the Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. From the very beginning, the Son was with the Father. An unbroken relationship grounded in holiness and love, a relationship that we cannot even begin to fathom the intimacy of this side of heaven. In the beginning, before a single thing was created, the Father and the Son and the Spirit all got to share in the joys of relationship together. The Trinity was whole together. The Trinity was beautiful and dynamic together. There was no need to create something more. It wasn't a need. But God chose to share this goodness just because for some reason he wanted to. And so the Son created the universe and created you and created me. The Son turned from this fully present, fully good union with the Father and made us to be a people who might get to share in this goodness and this love too. The Son turned outside of himself to let the love that he shared with the Father become a love that he would choose to share with us. It's remarkable, you guys. This is the good news. The first step in generous living is turning outside of our own safe places, turning outside of having to have our own needs met first and foremost, and choosing to pour God's goodness in us out for the good of others, turning outside of ourselves. Freely, we have received from the Son who turned away from heavenly bliss and turned toward us. And so freely, we get to turn toward those who are broken in our own midst as well. A people generous in relationship, or a people who walk into a room, who walk into a church, and their very first thought on their mind isn't, who's going to be the first one to notice and care for me today? But instead, they're the people whose first thought is, oh, gracious God, thank you for turning to me when you didn't have to, when you didn't need to, just because you love me enough that you wanted to. Thank you, God, for that generosity in turning to me. Now, God, show me who in this room needs me to notice them, to care for them. God, following in your footsteps, I will be the first to make a move. You see, as a pastor, so many times I get the privilege of hearing people's complaints. And they'll say, you know, I came to church and no one greeted me. I sat alone and nobody sat by me. And you know, I hear that and I get it and it hurts. And we can do better always. But as I'm hearing this same thing, I often wonder, as a people who are called to live generously in relationship, as a people following a Jesus who was the first one to turn away from his little triune fellowship and turn to us, how often might these very same stories be transformed if those folks came in not counting the handshakes extended to them, but throwing out their hands to every last person in the room, saying, I'm going to beat you to it. Not sitting alone, just waiting to see if anybody was going to pass the test that no one knew was being administered. But instead, being the first to plop down next to someone and saying, hi, I'm so-and-so. What a great day to worship Jesus together, eh? Generous in relationships. It looks like turning away from the same few people that keep us feeling safe and connected and having eyes to see around us who could use an extension of God's love through us today. This generous living, this turning outside of ourselves, don't get me wrong, it's hard. Countercultural, in fact. If you think about it, a few decades ago, homes in America began to change. Porches where people would gather, they moved from the front yard to the backyard. Garages became standard. And so nowadays, you can literally live 7 feet away from another person and never have to actually say a single word to them. And we say, hallelujah, what a gift. It's not, it's a mess, you guys. You want a practical way to turn outward this week? I've got some ideas. Try this. I know it's gross weather. It's okay. Take all your patio furniture. Take your grill. Take your swing set. Take your garden. Whatever it is you have in your backyard that you share with those people that you feel the safest with, and try a crazy experiment of putting it in your front yard. Play with the kids out front. So the neighbor kids can join in if they want. Maybe they don't have a swing set. Grill your burgers out front. So the family next door might catch a whiff and bring out a bag of potato chips as they're offering to the potluck. Plant your vegetable garden out front. And rather than spend your time worried about squirrels, grin as you see the intrusive neighbor come up and take a carrot from you. It's okay. It all sounds ridiculous, I know it, but you know, most of this upside-down kingdom of God stuff kind of does sound that way. You don't have neighbors like me? That's okay. There's still plenty of ways to turn outside of ourselves. What do you have to do this week? What is already stressing you out about the next 7 days? What are you dreading? I bet there's something. And rather than spend all your free time obsessing about what's hard in your life this week, I challenge you to think of just one thing that you can do to step into somebody else's hard life this week. That's generous living, and it will save your soul in a weary season. I guarantee it. There was a day a few years back when there was this Australian guy that moved to Waco, Texas. And he was my age and a lawyer and single and loved Jesus, and I had a crush. And we were supposed to have a date of sorts on a Monday night, and he bailed, and I was really in a bad mood. The fair was in town in Waco that weekend, and there were two little kiddos that I'd been investing in who never got to go to the fair before. And I was sitting in my house having a pity party about the cute Australian guy that bailed on me. And I thought about Nehemiah and Neviah. And just had this tug from God that said, Jamie, take those kiddos to the fair. So went and picked them up. We rode rides. We ate horrible food. We got stomach aches. We went and saw the rodeo. Took the kids home that night. And little Nehemiah, 6 years old, he said, Miss Jamie, this was the best day ever. And I said, yeah, it was, kiddo. That was a pretty darn good day. You see, you turn outside of yourself. You step into someone else's world, even in a small way. Move into someone else's neighborhood this week and find yourself taking up residence with the Jesus who has already moved in to ours. It'll change your soul. Generous living like Jesus turns outside of ourselves and then be a people who are present. You see, Jesus didn't just move into the neighborhood and then become a hermit in his own little home. He was always with people, always giving his time generously. John 1 says several things about him. It says he was in the world. He came to his own people. He awakened them to their true God selves. For him to have done that means that he hung with them long enough for transformation to happen. It's never instant. Jesus was present in every way, and he still is. How was Jesus fully present in this generous life he lived? First and foremost, he simply showed up. He came. He hung out. He was there just as he promised for thousands of years he would be. How are we fully present among those that God puts in our path and our life? It's not rocket science. We too show up. We hang out. We keep our promises. When we say we're going to be somewhere with someone, we see to it that we are there with them. We show up. Sounds simple enough, right? But you guys, we are products of a culture that really, really stinks at showing up. We are awesome at good intentions, no doubt, but we are weak at follow through. I'm in this camp too. Maybe we're just too busy nowadays, or maybe there are just too many good things to be a part of, or maybe there's just not enough hours in the day anymore. Maybe. We could say all that, but then we think about Jesus who showed up, and it turns out he could have been just as busy as he wanted to. You know, he was in pretty high demand, probably more than we'll ever be. There were plenty of good things for Jesus to be a part of. There was always an empty pulpit somewhere to preach in. He always had a sermon ready. There was always a sick person to heal. And when he became human, he actually surrendered himself to the same 24-hour day that we've got. And still, Jesus showed up. He made time to celebrate a friend's wedding. He mourned with friends in a time of loss. He broke bread in countless homes. He sat with a woman at a well longer than was culturally acceptable. Jesus showed up, just like he promised he would. And that's because Jesus prioritized people over things, relationships over status, love over all. And Jesus still shows up. Anytime you need him, even when you don't, he's right there. That's why his name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's the God who just keeps showing up. Want a practical way to live generous in your relationships this week? Try this. Show up. If someone's expecting your call, you guys, pick up the phone and call. If there's someone you know would have their socks blessed off by a visit from you, by all means, make that visit. If your child has a concert or a game, be there. My mom and my dad divorced when I was 6 years old, and my dad, for the rest of my childhood, lived over an hour away from us through Dallas, Texas, rush hour traffic. And my dad worked hard, and he was busy, but I can tell you that I cannot remember a single soccer game or basketball game or volleyball game from the time I was 6 to 18 years old that I didn't look up in the stands and see my dad sitting there cheering me on. And his presence is the greatest gift he has ever given me. I honestly sat in my house this week and racked my brain trying to think of one Christmas present he ever bought me. And he bought me Christmas gifts, don't get me wrong, a lot of them. But I couldn't think of one. But what I remember about my dad was never wrapped up in a box. What I remember was the times my dad showed up to be with me. You see, the average church member 20 years ago was considered an active part of the community if they made it to worship 3 out of 4 times in a month. Nowadays, an active church member has been reduced to someone who makes it to worship at least once a month. We'll take what we can get. You see, it's all about showing up. And showing up is all about what we value. If we think about it, our kids rarely miss school. We rarely miss a day at work. I bet there's at least one TV show or team that we rarely miss seeing. We can show up for what matters the most to us. And if what really matters the most to us is people, is relationship with God and others most of all, we will show up. It's as simple as that. Jesus was generous in relationship by being present. Jesus was present first by showing up, and then he was present by being fully there, by listening, by seeking to understand as much as he sought to be understood. We just finished a series on questions that Jesus asked, and there are dozens more questions from Jesus in the Gospels. He asked a lot of questions. Do you know why? Do you know why Jesus asked so many questions? Because Jesus was fascinated with people. He didn't come just to give us a piece of his mind and disappear. He came also to listen to the hearts of his people, to sit with them while dinner was cooking and simply let them know that they were seen and they were heard in that place. Jesus was present, generous in relationship by being fully there, by listening well. If you're like me, I bet you can count on one hand this morning the people in your life who really listen to you well. You know, we've all heard the saying that we have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. But it's true. In being present with others, we would all do well to listen twice as much as we talk. To really let someone share in their own words their experiences, their joys, their hurts, their dreams, and to simply sit with them in that, not having to have a one-up on them, not having to fix a thing, just to sit with them. Did you know that Americans spend around $55 billion a year in therapy? And I'm all for it. Therapy's great. Why do you think so much money is spent in this one field every single year? One huge reason is because therapists are people who are trained and paid to sit there and listen to us. In a society that is jam-packed with folks who are just dying to be heard, to be acknowledged, to be understood, to be known, and to be loved. Want to be generous in relationships this week? Got a few ideas. Instead of buying flowers for your spouse, how about setting aside an evening instead just to listen to what's on her heart? Don't just send your friend a Facebook forward this week, but actually pick up the phone and ask that friend how they're doing and listen to their response, all of it. Don't just get on your kids for a bad note sent home from school, but sit your child down and ask them what made things hard that day and listen as they share their little bitty hearts with you. At the dinner table, how about we turn the TV off and put the phones in a different room and lock them up and look our family in the face and listen to each other. Showing up is great, but if we just show up and our hearts and our minds are somewhere else, what's the point? Be with the people you're with. Listen, listen, listen. Then after a while, maybe say a word. But first, show up and listen. Generous in relationship, like our Jesus. Then finally, Jesus was generous in relationship by being gentle to those who pushed against him and unconditional in his embrace for those who received him. Did you get that? Gentle to those who pushed against him and unconditional in his embrace of those who received him. John 1 says he came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. To those who would love him and to those who would despise him alike, Jesus came. And he moved into the neighborhood and he offered relationship just the same. To the disciple that he knew would betray him, Jesus bent down and washed his feet just the same. To the one he knew would deny him three times, he broke the bread saying, "This is my body broken for you," just the same. You see, he didn't base his love and relationship on same beliefs, same affiliations, same politics, same theology. He had no time for that. He based his love and relationship on human beings, knowing that everyone was a child of God, made in his image, loved by the Father of all. And so to those who would receive him, be they fishermen or tax collectors, rich or poor, educated or not, priest or prostitutes, he gave the power to become children of God. To all who would receive him, he took them in as his very own. Generous in invitation to those who would reject him, and generous in relationship to all who would receive him. Want to be generous in relationship this week? I've got another idea. Don't give me a whole week between sermons. I get too many ideas. This idea, reach out and be gracious to someone that you've already said is totally different from you. You see, our society struggles to care for those we disagree with these days. And newsflash, you guys, it turns out Christians aren't any better at it than non-Christians. In fact, lately, we're worse. And you see, it wasn't so long ago that old men would sit in coffee shops and old women would sit at the beauty parlor, and there they would sit and talk about religion and politics, and they would leave an hour later, and guess what? Miracle of all miracles, they could still be friends. Nowadays, Christians who disagree on anything, on gay marriage, on the political climate, on whether it's Black Lives Matter or is it All Lives Matter, they can't even sit at the same table over a cup of coffee and have a thoughtful conversation, humbly learning from one another. There's so much fear today for some crazy reason, and those who think differently than we think, even if they love Jesus Christ just as much as us. And so we push against people who are different from us and tell them, "You're over there and I'm over here. No neighborhood alike." Jesus moved into the neighborhood to live among those who would dig him and those who wouldn't want a thing to do with him, just the same. He was kind, unthreatened, a neighbor to all. Want to live generously in relationships this week? Maybe be a little bit less picky about who you extend grace to. Maybe set a table for someone you don't agree with. And maybe stay there at that table until you've found something to laugh about together. Embrace someone who wants to be embraced. Someone that you've been looking past for a while now. Maybe they're not really your type. It matters not. Because generous relationships turn outward, show up, listen, are gentle with those who differ, and are unconditional and embrace. Freely, we have received all of this and more from Jesus Christ our Lord. And so freely, we get to give. We get to. May we be generous in relationship this week. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Amen. That is, by the way we move into the neighborhood and hang out with folks until transformation has come for everyone. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that you moved into our neighborhood and that you were generous in relationship with us, pouring yourself out, turning aside from this perfect union you had in heaven with your Father to share with us, that you were fully present, that you showed up, that you gave us a listening ear, that you still give us a listening ear, that you're always right there, that you are rich in forgiveness and grace. Whenever we push against you, that you don't push us away, but you keep your arms open saying, come home whenever you'd like. Thank you. Thank you. And Father God, help us not be a people who just say thank you. Help us remember freely we have received this goodness from you. Freely we get to give it back out. This week, help us pour out in relationship extravagantly, generously to those in our midst. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.